Wisconsin Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen has asked a federal judge to place on hold any ruling that may make Wisconsin's ban on same-sex marriage legal. He's already predicted that Wisconsin's ban will be struck down and that he will vigorously defend it. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, Memorial Day, May 26th. We will talk about whether the days are numbered for Wisconsin's constitutional amendment that defines marriage as being only between a man and a woman, and whether you think it ought to be overturned. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our guest. Happy to have with us Howard Schwaber, professor of political science and legal studies at UW-Madison and an affiliate faculty member of the UW Law School. He is also an affiliate faculty member of the Integrated Liberal Studies Program and the Center for the Advancement of Post-Secondary Education. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, thanks for being with us on this holiday. Let me ask you about your reaction to the Attorney General asking a federal judge to put a stay on her ruling ahead of time.
It's not really startling at all. So the real precedent for this was Utah. In Utah, a federal judge ruled that same-sex marriages had to be recognized. And just a few months ago, the United States Supreme Court issued an emergency stay of that ruling. There's just now been a ruling that Utah is required to recognize about 1,000 same-sex marriages that were performed in the interim. But the pattern of asking for a stay has become quite common. There were 8 federal judges that struck down same-sex marriage bans in the past year, and I think either six or seven of them are currently under a stay. The point is that these cases are going to be appealed to a higher court, certainly to the circuit court, most likely at some point to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the states don't want to be in the position that Utah finds itself in, which is, I hate to phrase it this way, but stuck with 1,000 legally married couples whose marriages may be contrary to what ends up being Utah law at the end of the day.
Yeah. And just for clarification, what does it mean for a judge to issue a stay? Would say your ban is illegal, but you don't have to allow gay marriage or same-sex marriage until this is completely resolved by the Supreme Court?
That's exactly right, although it doesn't have to end with the Supreme Court. A stay means I've decided the legal issue in this question, but I'm going to hold off on issuing a remedy. So in this instance, it's exactly that. Yes, I find that this ban on same-sex marriage violates the Constitution, but you don't have to do anything about it until all the appeals process has been finished. Now, in Pennsylvania and Oregon, just in this past month or so, the governors of both of those states have chosen not to appeal federal decision. So they become the 18th and the 19th states now to allow same-sex marriage. So this is a choice. And it's an interesting choice given that our governor has become a whole lot less strict on this issue than he was even just a few months ago.
Yeah, he was asked on Friday whether he thought it would be significant if the same-sex marriage ban were overturned. And he said simply, "I don't know."
Right. He said that, and then he also said he went into a fairly extended statement about how federal judges have to apply the U.S. constitutions and how that's outside of his purview as a state official. And then he ended with that remarkable statement, "I don't know what it means," it being allowing gay marriage. "Voters don't talk to me about that. They talk about the economy," I'm quoting from the interview. That's a remarkable turnabout from a governor who earlier this year declined, for example, to defend the same-sex registry. You'll recall that during the fight about, or the conflict about, adoption of a constitutional amendment in Wisconsin to ban same-sex marriage, one of the issues was whether that ban would prevent same-sex state registry of same-sex relationships. And opponents of the ban said, no, it wouldn't, but then once it was in place, turned around and filed suit saying, now you've got to strike that down as well. And in that situation, Governor Walker said, "I'm with them." That is, I'm with the proponents of the ban on same-sex marriage, and I'm joining in their position that that also means no recognition of same-sex relationships in any other way. And throughout the earlier part of the year, he was making strong statements about his commitment to preventing same-sex marriage from ever reaching Wisconsin. So Attorney General Van Hollen is taking this step against a political background just in this past week in which his governor seems to be backing away from his actions.
Yeah, why do you think the governor would be backing away?
Well, the plausible explanation is that the tide of public opinion really does seem to have turned pretty dramatically in the last year or two. There's a recent poll that's being cited a lot that suggests that 55% of registered voters now approve of same-sex marriage, as opposed to something like only 36% who disapprove. That's a national poll. I have not seen a recent Wisconsin poll. One might speculate that Governor Walker cares about national opinion as well as Wisconsin state opinion, or one just might speculate that he doesn't want to spend political capital on a losing cause. Either way, though, it really is a dramatic turnabout, a dramatic change of face on his part. And I wonder whether Attorney General Van Hollen is going to find himself isolated in this.
Yeah. Now, the domestic registry, I understand, isn't a decision or a ruling on its constitutionality expected fairly soon?
Sometime soon. It's hard to say exactly when. Probably before the November election.
Yeah. And again, that would determine whether do we have any hint as to whether or not domestic partners will continue to be able to get benefits if you know, same-sex domestic partners?
Sure. It's very hard to say. The Wisconsin State Supreme Court, as you know, is very divided these days. There is a conservative majority. In ordinary times, if you'd asked me this question a year ago, let's say, I probably would have predicted that, well, the conservative majority will vote to strike down benefits for same-sex couples over ringing dissents written by the liberal minority. But the politics of this question are changing so fast. Mm-hmm. And the extent to which state Supreme Courts do or do not respond to politics is sometimes unclear. In this environment, it's very hard to say. I could see the Wisconsin State Supreme Court itself not wanting to be isolated, sort of not wanting to find itself out in front as one of the only courts left trying to deny equality to same-sex couples.
Now, help us understand why a federal judge would declare a constitutional amendment, a Wisconsin constitutional amendment, unconstitutional.
Right. So this really goes back to the Windsor case last year when the U.S. Supreme Court struck down DOMA, the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. And there's two pieces to this analysis. First, certainly the federal constitution trumps the state constitution. In fact, any federal statute trumps the state constitution if they come into conflict. That's not a radical position. That was established in the 1790s. It's one of the oldest and best established principles of American constitutional law we have. It had to do with a state constitutional amendment that was adopted having to do with war debts from the American Revolution. So if there is a conflict between the two, the state law yields, regardless of whether it's a state constitutional law or a state statute. The reason the constitutional amendments mattered is that early on, going back to the middle 90s, some state Supreme Courts, Hawaii, for example, were finding a right to same-sex marriage under the state constitutions. And so the strategy shifted away from litigating in state courts about existing laws toward trying to pass state constitutional amendments to ban same-sex marriages, often in states where it wasn't really an issue. It was a preemptive move in many cases. And there was a long stream of instances in which referenda resulted in the adoption of state constitutional amendments banning same-sex marriage. That all changed when the federal courts began to apply a federal constitutional standard to the question. And the federal constitutional standard goes something like this. If you want to treat a group differently than you treat another group, you have to have a reason. And depending how serious the issue is, we will demand a really, really good reason or just an acceptable reason. These are called the famous, infamous tiers of scrutiny. And in Windsor, the U.S. Supreme Court gave very, very strong indications that it was going to look for a really good reason. The U.S. Supreme Court has never said whether sexual orientation is a classification that triggers what's called strict scrutiny. That is, if you have a law that treats people differently based on their race, that law is almost impossible to justify. If you have a law that treats people differently based on their age, that law is very easy to justify. Why is the driving age, 18 in one place and 17 in another? Mm-hmm. Well, age is not a suspect classification in that way. The Supreme Court has never told us to this day whether sexual orientation is more like age or more like race in that way. But in the Windsor case, there's a lot of strong hints that to survive federal constitutional scrutiny, differential treatment of same-sex couples requires a pretty strong justification. And that's what the lower federal courts have been doing. They've been applying this higher standard and saying, look, what is your explanation for not letting same-sex couples marry, not letting the children of same-sex couples have the benefits of married parents, not letting, you know, all the arguments that flow around that inequality, including those federal statutes, which were at issue in DOMA. What's the justification for this? And it can't be just that we disapprove of those people. That's not a legitimate justification. And confronted by that question, supporters of bans on same-sex marriage have found it almost impossible to come up with any kind of answer.
We are talking about the future of Wisconsin's ban on same-sex marriage during this edition of our State Capitol Report with Howard Schwaber, a professor of political science and legal studies at UW-Madison and an affiliate faculty member of the UW Law School. Federal courts have recently struck down several states' gay marriage bans, and Wisconsin Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen says he expects the same to happen in Wisconsin. But he also says he's going to aggressively defend the ban in court. What do you think? Do you think that Wisconsin ought to defend this ban? Do you think that the ban should be overturned? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 20 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, May 26th. We are talking with a guest analyst about the future of Wisconsin's constitutional amendment that defines marriage as being only between a man and a woman. Wisconsin's Attorney General predicts that this ban is going to be overturned by a federal judge, just as has happened in several other states. And we welcome your questions about whether this should happen or not, or why it would happen or not. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. On Friday, the Attorney General, J.B. Van Hollen, has asked a federal judge to place on hold any future order that she may make that would strike down the state's ban on gay marriage. We have a Peter on Facebook who says, no, the ban should not be overturned by the courts or anyone else. We have no right to change the meaning of marriage, and we owe it to our children to preserve it for what it has always been. You were just talking, Professor Schwaber, about, you know, that there's got to be a really compelling reason to deny marriage equality to same-sex couples. That's what the courts are looking at right now. What about this preserving the institution of marriage that some say that this would harm the institution of marriage?
Sure. There's a couple of pieces of that argument. So first, we ought to distinguish the difference between marriage as a legal status and marriage as a social ritual, right? So it's certainly the case that the state has the right or the authority, if you want to phrase it that way, to alter the terms of marriage as a legal status. It's the state law that creates that status in the first place and defines its terms, and it's been changed many times. For example, in the colonial period in Massachusetts, it was unlawful for churches to perform marriages. Only civil ceremonies were allowed. It's only in a later period of our history that we start allowing religious institutions to carry out those ceremonies, and of course they always end by the authority vested in me by the state. So there's no question that a state can change the legal terms of licensing. What Peter is getting at, though, of course, is a bigger question, which is, you know, is this not a matter of using legal arguments or even constitutional arguments to change something fundamental about the way our society is organized? And the answer is maybe. There's nothing, after all, in allowing same-sex marriage that necessarily changes the status of heterosexual marriages in any way. So the argument becomes something that it will change consciousness or change ways of thinking or something like that, and we don't know what that will do. I think the answer to that question is yes, that's true. And the difficulty is it is not acceptable as an argument in constitutional law to say, well, we've always done it this way, therefore it must be constitutional. That is, we take the Constitution to be a declaration of a certain set of principles and requirements, and we do use that those principles and requirements to test our existing, even deeply rooted traditional ways of doing things. And if we find that those deeply traditional, deeply rooted ways of doing things contradict those principles, then we have an obligation to change them. That's the theory of the Constitution as higher law.
Let's take a call from Steve in Madison. Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
Morning.
Let me say, first of all, that I do think the ban should be overturned, but I wondered about whether in Wisconsin law the Attorney General has a choice as to whether he can defend the ban or not. I mean, I know in other Oregon and Pennsylvania, of course, they decided not to try to, but does he have a choice here?
Well, he takes orders from the governor, and the governor has a choice. So, for example, Governor Walker earlier chose not to defend same-sex registries. Other parties stepped in and took on that role, but on behalf of the state of Wisconsin chose not to defend its own law in that situation. In the Windsor case, we had the opposite situation. The federal government chose not to defend DOMA. It's a very, very strange case in which the brief on behalf of the U.S. government ends with saying, we think the lower court's ruling striking down our law should be upheld. So I agree, it raises, and there's the California case in which the state of California refused to defend its own constitutional provision. So I agree, it feels very strange. And J.B. Van Hollen, who has said he's obliged to defend the state law just because it is the state law, you know, that's partly true, except that he takes orders from his governor, and his governor could tell him not to do it. So the guy to focus on here really is Scott Walker. And Walker is taking an interesting kind of mixed position. He's saying he has no feeling about the federal validity of the law, he doesn't know what it means, and so on, but he's apparently instructing his attorney general to attempt to delay any implementation of a decision that would strike down that law. So the short answer is yes, he has a choice, if his governor says so.
Yeah. Okay, Steve?
Thank you.
All right, thanks very much. Let's go to Wayne in Green Bay next. Hello, Wayne.
Hi. Courts, I believe, before they grant a stay, usually look for whether the stay will cause irreparable harm to the parties. And I see a balancing act here, but wouldn't the irreparable harm being suffered by the parties to a proposed gay marriage or their children in being denied the benefits of having married parents, wouldn't that outweigh any in a balancing act, any interest that the state would have?
Well, it might, and it's a good argument. It's an argument that was raised in the Utah context, and in that case, the U.S. Supreme Court has declared that there is good grounds for a stay, that is effectively an irreparable injury that would be suffered by the state in being compelled to recognize marriages that ultimately turned out not to be valid under its laws as they would later exist. It's hard to even make the tenses work in this sentence. Because the U.S. Supreme Court has made that ruling in the Utah case, federal judges are well advised to grant stays in these cases, lest that decision be overturned on appeal and produce all kinds of weird results. It's also the case that I think that, you know, while your point is very well taken, there is obviously great disagreement among the courts on these issues, and it's obviously the case that these questions are going to go to the circuit courts and almost certainly to the U.S. Supreme Court. And it does make some sense to wait, gather them all together, and have them decided.
So do you suspect that based on what's happened in other states, even though there might be a wide variety of opinion out there, that Wisconsin's same-sex marriage ban is going to be overturned?
I'm relatively confident that it will be, and I'm also relatively confident that the judge will grant the stay. The matter will then move on to the circuit court. The Tenth Circuit is getting ready to move. The Seventh Circuit is likely to rule soon. I think that within a year there will be enough rulings from federal circuit courts that, you know, the term after this next one, I think we will see the U.S. Supreme Court take up the issue.
Yeah. Then what?
That is a fascinating question. Every indication, or the Windsor decision, really gives a strong indication that there are at least five justices who would be strongly moved to rule that bans on same-sex marriage are unconstitutional across the board. We can expect a particularly vigorous dissent from Justice Scalia, as there was in Windsor. But it does look as though the direction of change is very nearly irreversible, politically, legally, and just in terms of the shared general understanding of what the Constitution requires. It's really a fascinating case study because I don't know of a situation in which the tide of general opinion has shifted as quickly as this one.
Yeah. So have another minute or so here. How do you see this issue, gay marriage, going on the campaign trail, especially in the race for governor?
I suspect that this is exactly why we're seeing Governor Walker back away from the issue. I don't think he wants it to be a central issue on the campaign trail. Mary Burke has declared herself to be strongly in favor of same-sex marriage. Scott Walker would like this election to be a referendum on Walker versus his critics. That is right. So casting Mary Burke as just another one of the long line of Democratic critics of Walker, and to focus the issue on economics and business and things like that. He doesn't really want this to turn into a fight over an issue in which his party's position has become the unpopular side. And I think that nationally, this is going to be the pattern. My suspicion is lots of culture warriors and right-wing Republicans and Tea Party candidates will try and make same-sex marriage a big issue, but that the more establishment Republican candidates will try and step away from it.
Interesting. All right. Thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, and happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day. Howard Schwaber, professor of political science and legal studies at UW-Madison and affiliate faculty member at the UW Law School, talking with us about the future of Wisconsin's same-sex marriage ban. Our state capitol report will continue after the news. We're going to talk with a Wisconsin war veteran who is not entirely happy with Governor Walker's record when it comes to veterans' issues. And we'll wonder what you think about that coming up after the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.